time I get to stand for the Lord and preach the gospel. Amen. And something I do not take lightly. And I'm not worthy to stand and preach the gospel. Amen. But God saw fit to call me. And that's what I want to live my life doing, preaching the gospel. If you have your Bibles tonight, just a simple thought, and John chapter number 15 tonight. And, you know, we are living in troublesome times. We're living in what I believe the Apostle Paul said, perilous times. And this message is titled, I'm Glad I Have a Friend. And this day when the world is trying every way to do away with God and what the church stands for and what I stand for and what I believe in tonight, I'll tell you, we better have a friend. Amen. We better have a friend. And in this scripture tonight, I'll try not to hold 30 minutes, but I just want to give you a thought. I told my wife, told the boys last night that we were going to try to make it tonight. This is the first time I've been able to make it. Seems like every time I try to get here, something happens. I'm a principal of Cherokee Middle School over on the reservation in Cherokee. And my days run long sometimes, amen. And I know tonight that the devil tries his best to keep us away from times like this, amen. But here in the scripture tonight, real quickly, in John chapter number 15, I'm going to start up about verse number 7. And the Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. If ye do whatsoever I command you. Verse number 15, it says, henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Our precious dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help tonight. I'm so unworthy tonight, Lord, to stand to preach the gospel. But, Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you saw fit to call me to preach the gospel. Lord, I pray tonight for your help in this message. Lord, give me the knowledge and the wisdom that I need to expound upon these scriptures just for a little while here. And, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you give us tonight what we need here. These men have come together tonight, and Lord, we need your help. We need your presence, Lord. We need you to speak to our hearts and stir our souls once again for the glory of God. Lord, let us leave here tonight, Lord, with our souls stirred, and Lord, us being strengthened by the word of God. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you now, Lord. Preach me harder than you ever have, and Lord, I'll give you the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name I beg and pray, amen. I want to say tonight that you know, down through the ages I've had, or down through my 39 years on this earth, I've had people that said they were my friend. And today they're nowhere to be found. Amen. I remember when I was in 2002, April of 2002, when I announced my call to preach. I had people that said they were my best friends, brother. And I'll tell you, they're nowhere to be found today. As soon as I told them I announced my call to preach, they were gone. But I'm thankful when I was 11 years old, I'm thankful I was introduced to someone by the name of Jesus. And he has been my friend and has never left me nor forsaken me tonight. He's been with me through everything that I've been through in this life, and I'm thankful for that tonight, amen. But here in the scriptures, I just want to give us a couple of things. First of all, I want to say this. I'm glad I have a friend tonight that sacrificed for me. You'll find tonight in the scriptures in verse number 13, you'll find that the Bible tells us that he sacrificed his body. Amen. He said in verse number 13 there, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends tonight. You'll find that over there in the scriptures, you'll find that when it came time that they took Jesus to crucify him, you'll find that Peter following, the disciple Peter following, and it came to the place where they said, are you not the one that was with him? And Peter denied him. Peter said, no, I didn't know him. But you'll find that before that happened, you'll find that Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you even unto the death. And Peter found out real quickly that he wasn't really ready at that point in time to go to the death with the Lord. But you'll find later on in his life, after he witnessed the Lord being crucified for him tonight, you'll find later on in his life, you'll find that Peter laid down his life for the cause of Christ tonight. And I'm afraid tonight that we soon will find ourselves maybe sitting in the Apostle Peter's place, where we may lose our life tonight, brother, because we take a stand for Christ. Amen. But I'm thankful I've got a friend tonight. That sacrifice, he paved the way for us tonight through sacrificing his body. And without that sacrifice of that body, Brother Mark said it just a few moments ago, we would not have salvation tonight, amen. We would still be on probation and parole tonight under the sacrifice of the lambs and the animals tonight that only lasted for a short term. But praise God tonight, I've got a sacrificial lamb tonight in my life that was introduced to me when I was 11 years old, that laid down his life finally and ultimately for all mankind that would accept him as his Savior. Amen. Then you'll find not only did he sacrifice his body, but he sacrificed his belongings. Boy, I'll tell you tonight, it's good to have friends that will help you out in the time of need tonight. Amen. But can I tell you something? We got a friend tonight that sacrificed all he had. When he came to this earth to be born of a virgin, to die at Calvary, to rise on the third appointed day, in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 20, it says, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have their nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I mean, he laid it all on the line for you and I tonight. He laid it all on the line for you and I tonight. And then number two, I want to say this tonight. Not only do we have a friend that sacrificed for us, but we have a friend that is steadfast tonight. That word steadfast is similar to the term, the phrase hold fast. And tonight it's a militaristic term tonight. I spent 5 years in the Marine Corps. And a lot of times they would tell us to hold fast. In other words, hold what you got. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that the Lord said that there's no way tonight that anybody can pluck us out of the Father's hands. What is His tonight is His. And not even the devil tonight can take and pluck us out of the Father's hands tonight. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Amen. I mean, we might ought to run out here and do a few rapture drills here and run around a few collapse around the building because of that tonight. But he's steadfast tonight in the battle. Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now you say, preacher, why'd you give us that tonight? That don't even go coincide. But let me tell you, I want to give you the difference tonight, amen. I've got friends tonight that if times of trouble come, they would be gone. They wouldn't help me. They wouldn't stand and fight with me. I mean, they would be gone tonight. But boy, I'll tell you what, I've been through some spiritual battles in my life. I've been through some storms in my life. I've seen some things tonight. I've been in the bottom of the valley tonight. And guess who's always there? The lily of the valley tonight. The sweet rose of Sharon tonight. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. When times got hard and times of trouble come, he's never forsaken me tonight. He's never said, you're on your own, do what you will tonight. He stood fast there with me. He's never left me. He stood there with me. Hey, in fact, about it tonight, you go over there to the book of Joshua and you find when the people of Israel come up to Jericho, they look, Joshua's standing there looking at those walls and thinking to himself, oh my, what have we got ourselves into? We're going to die here. We're going to be defeated. But there's a Christophany happens there. The angel of the Lord shows up and he says, Joshua, hey Joshua, listen to me, buddy. Everything's all right, amen. I've already told you how to win this battle. I'm going to fight it for you, amen. Just fall in line and follow what I tell you to do, amen. And I'll tell you, they marched around those walls for 7 days, amen. And on the seventh day, the trumpet sounded and they let out a big old shout, amen. You say, preacher, what changes things tonight? I'll tell you what changes things tonight. Every once in a while, just let out a big, woo! Glory to God, amen. I'll tell you, that'll put the devil to running. That'll bring down the walls in your life, amen. I'm thankful tonight I'm saved and I've got a steadfast friend tonight in my life. Psalms 121. Verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help tonight. You say, preacher, why was he lifting up his eyes to the hills? Because Psalms 46:1 has said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, you say, preacher, where do I need to run when times of trouble come? Where do I need to run when the battle's raging? Praise God, lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. And look to the Lord tonight because he is our present help in the time of trouble tonight. Amen. Amen. Let me give you the third one and I'll be done. I have a friend tonight that serves. Look with me here real quickly here in this scripture in verse number 15. He tells us, he says, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Amen. He's calling us friends. But he's saying he's not calling us servants no more. You turn over to Philippians chapter number 2 tonight in verse 6 and 7. And it talks about the role that the Lord played. That he thought, let me run over there real quickly tonight. And read that to you tonight. Because I think it's important. In verse number 6 and 7 it says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But now look at verse number 7. It says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant tonight. You say, preacher, why did he do that? Because he wanted us to do the same. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, sometimes we get above our race and amen. I'll tell you tonight, it'd be good for us just to be, I hear Brother Mark, a lot of times people talking about the good old days and how simple things, people were happier and everything. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to get back to the simple life. Amen. To the simple things. And it might take God taking us down a few notches and bringing us down to where we don't have a whole lot this side of heaven. But praise God, if we got Jesus, we got everything. Tonight, amen. I'll tell you tonight over there in John chapter number 13 and verse number 12, how you'll find the Bible says, so after he had washed their feet. Now, I'm not into that foot washing stuff now. Don't walk out of here and say that preacher's in the foot washing. That's all. No, I'm not in the foot washing. Amen. That's not what the Lord was. He wasn't telling them disciples that the foot washing had anything to do with salvation. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. What he was doing before them, Brother Mark, was he was showing them the example of servitude. I'll tell you, say, how do you know that, preacher? Because he got down there and he began to wash their dirty feet. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, I'm thankful that Jesus came by when I was 11 years old and he washed my dirty soul. This flesh was it's vile and wicked and it's sinful tonight. But praise God, I'm thankful he saved my soul tonight. This old flesh is still vile and wicked and nasty tonight. But praise God, the internal has been cleansed, washed through and through tonight. You say, why, preacher? Because he brought himself down to be a servant tonight, and it took a servant's heart tonight to go to Calvary. It took a servant's heart to go to Calvary. Now, I want to say this tonight, and you know, the Bible says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, in this life, I've got a brother, Brother Mark, by blood, and he don't have nothing new with me. His wife and his little daughter don't have nothing to do with me because of the stand that I've taken in my life and my family's life, amen. And I have no apologies for the stand that I take. But boy, I'll tell you tonight, it hurts my heart. Oh, it hurts my heart. But boy, I'm glad on the other side of that, I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Boy, I'll tell you tonight, I don't deserve him. And I can't for the life of me sometimes figure out why he chose me. But boy, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he come by and said, I want to be your friend. I'll be the friend that sticks with you no matter what. I'll be the friend that you could call out to in the wee hours of morning when nobody else cares. Oh, what a friend tonight. What a friend. And he said, I'm a friend that went to Calvary for you because I love you. Because I wanted to be a servant for you tonight. You know, tonight, in times of trouble, and these hard times that we're going through and these perilous times that we're going through tonight, you know what we need to remember? That we have a friend. We have a friend in Jesus. He's not just any friend tonight. He's the dearest friend that we've ever had. Brother Mark.
Well, that's good, wasn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Preached from his heart. Amen. Thank God. The Spirit of the Lord can help us just for a few minutes to be reminded what a good friend our Lord and Savior is. Amen. So many things that he is. A lot of people don't want him as Lord, but he is Lord. I reverence him as Lord. I fear him as Lord, God. But I'm glad that he's personal enough to be our friend. Amen. To be our friend. The best friend. The best friend that anybody could ever have. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Brother Derbury, you come and...
Amen. Good to be back in fellowship tonight. Sure did enjoy that preaching. Amen. I just, to tell you the truth, when I come in here, I'm about wore out. I've been back to work now for about a week and a half, and after being there about 3 months, it takes some getting used to. Amen. And that stirred my soul. Amen. And I've always found that about the house of the Lord. Amen. Wednesday night, you know, everybody, you know, tired, and everybody, you know, that's when the devil will give you the excuses, amen. Well, it's just prayer meeting, amen. But the Lord refreshes my soul as much on Wednesday night as he does on Sunday morning or Sunday night, amen. And always, whenever I come to the house of the Lord always does something for me. And I'm thankful for that, amen. Well, I didn't really know. You know, lots of times you kind of feel the Lord's nudge before you get here, if you want to preach or not. And I didn't really know, and I've been studying, been preaching a lot upon the Lordship of Christ. And of course, Life's Fellowship, I preached on that, and I want to look tonight in Matthew chapter number 3. I began preaching at the church there in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is written from the viewpoint of Christ being king. Amen. Of course, he is king, whether you allow him to be king of your life, Lord of your life, he's king. He wasn't born Lord. He wasn't born king. That wasn't what made him king, wasn't what made him Lord. He was already king and Lord before he ever come into this world. Amen. But I've got just a few thoughts here out of chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. And I want to read, I'll probably read down through verse number 10. And that'll probably be as far as I'll be able to preach tonight and give you a few thoughts. And really burdened my heart, amen, spiritual condition of the church, amen. And I know we live in this world, and we have circumstances, and we have heartaches, we have sickness. That's part of our fallen humanity. I mean, that's just part of that. And I'm not casting that aside at all, because those things are important to us. That's what we go through each day. But we need the Lord in our life more than we need breath in our body. Amen. We need Him, His presence and His power in our life more than we need the health of our bodies. Amen. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not casting that aside. It affects all of us, our health and sickness and tragedies and all these. I'm not belittling that at all. But the burden upon my heart here in recent days, recent weeks, is our spirituality. Amen. I'm saved, as the Apostle Paul and the brothers done said. There's nothing going to change that. Amen. The devil can't pluck me out. Listen, I can't make myself lost again. Amen. And not even if I could, I don't want to. But listen, I'm saved, amen, saved by the grace of God. There's nothing going to change that. But you can be saved and not be spiritual, amen. And oftentimes we say we've lived into a day whenever the church is grown cold and unspiritual. And I know that, you know, the book of Revelation, the seven churches, the Laodicean church, that's the cold, lukewarm church that's indifferent to the things of God. I understand. I believe that we're living in those days of the Laodicean church. But this is not a problem that only has happened in the last days. Amen. This is, as we study our Bible, we see in humanity, this is even with from Adam on, we see that this has been a problem. Amen. And we need revival. Amen. We need revival in our hearts. And you know, I know you hear preachers say that, pastor get up and say, we need revival, and everybody say amen, and we go about our day, we go about our life, but we really need to take this to heart. Amen. We need, listen, God has chosen the church in this day, amen, to proclaim his gospel, to do the work that God's going to do. Amen. God doesn't, listen, in the early church, God imparted knowledge to the apostles. He had to give them the word of God. They had the spiritual gifts, those passing gifts, they had those. And I understand that. And in the Old Testament, God chose Israel. And that was their purpose in him choosing them to be a light to the other nations. Amen. And we know how that ended. But today, you know, God doesn't get his work done in any other way. Amen. There's a lot of ministries out there in the world today. Amen. But if they're not affiliated and sent out through the local church, they're not of God. Amen. That's just, I mean, that's Bible. So the church, so it's, this is the priority. This is the urgent need. Amen. In our life, as we as the church of the living God, amen, to prosper in the work of God, we need his presence and his power. And listen, I've not got any magic words. I've not got any prayers to pray. Amen. All I know is what the Word of God says. Amen. I'm going to read these scriptures. I'm going to give you a few things that the Lord has given me upon this, and trust that the Lord will help us in this. Amen. It says in chapter number 3, verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this was he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth fruit, good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11, I'll read. Verse 11 and 12, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I want to preach out of verse number three tonight, where it says, for this was he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, this phrase, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Amen. I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on what it takes to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. That's what we need. Amen. We need the way of the Lord in our lives. Amen. We need the way of the Lord in our walk. We need the way of the Lord in our work for him. Amen. He needs to have his way in our life. This all ties back into the book of Matthew as him being king and as him being Lord. If you study the book of Matthew and you study it with that in your mind, that he is king, the book of Matthew will open up to you greater than it ever has before. But I want to preach just a few minutes on what it takes to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 1, the Bible says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching." Amen. John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. Amen. He's recorded in the New Testament. Amen. In our Bibles. But he's the Old Testament prophet. He's the last of the Old Testament prophets. Amen. The Gospels, we know that the time of the Gospels was actually still in the old economy. Amen. Until Christ died upon the cross, was buried and resurrected the third day, they were still under the old economy. Amen. But anyway, John, the Bible says in those days, what days was he talking about? He's talking about the days that God had not spoke unto the nation of Israel for 400 years. Amen. The last word from God was 400 years back in the book of Malachi. Amen. And if you read the book of Malachi, you see that his prophecy was unto that remnant that had came back from captivity, and they had rebuilt the altar, they'd rebuilt the temple, they had rebuilt the walls under Ezra and Nehemiah, we understand, but then they had got complacent and they had got cold, and they had got into the place where we start in the book of Matthew in those days. Amen. And if you study, we understand the coldness, we understand the deadness and the insincerity of religion. Amen. The only religion that God had given, Judaism, amen, in the Old Testament, that was of God. He gave that. But it had become something that was not God. Amen. It had become the Jews' religion. It had become the feast of the Jews instead of the feast of the Lord's and the religion of the Lord's. Amen. And listen, even as a church today, even as a saved individual, if we are careful, we'll find ourselves in those days in our life. Amen. We know that in the world, we're in those days. We're in the Laodicean age, I believe with all my heart. Amen. I look for the Lord to come with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God just any moment. Amen. I look for him every day. Amen. Just from the things that we see. But we're living in those days. That's the days that John came. Amen. And what did he do? The Bible says in those days came John preaching, amen, preaching, amen. God has always had somebody, amen, to stand up and preach the truth of what people needed, amen. That's the only way that I ever knew that I needed to be saved, amen. That's the only way that I ever knew what my condition was, that God had somebody, amen, called to be a preacher, to proclaim the truth of the Word of God unto sinners. Amen. Listen, that's what the Bible says. That's Bible. Amen. The Bible says that he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Amen. So John came forth preaching. Amen. First thing it takes, amen, to prepare our hearts for the way of the Lord is to hear the truth. Amen. Amen. Sometimes the truth's hard to hear. Amen. Amen. Especially when it's unto me. Amen. But that's the first thing we're going to have to have. Amen. We're going to have the truth about who we are. Amen. Now, I had to have the truth about who I was to be saved. Amen. 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 Until I come to the knowledge of the truth about my being a sinner, amen, I could not be saved. Amen. Listen, sinners cannot be saved until God, the Holy Ghost, breaks into their life and makes them realize that they're a sinner through the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. They can't be saved. I can't lead them to be saved. I can't win them to be saved. Amen. It takes God through the preaching of the Word of God to save sinners. Amen. And saints of God, it takes the preaching of the Word of God. It takes the proclaiming of truth. Amen. To come into our heart and to reveal what we need. Listen, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. I know you're just like I am. Since I've been saved. Amen. I've needed a lot of truth. Amen. I was 20 years old when I was saved. Amen. I lived a wicked life. I've had to unlearn a lot of things that I learned in those 20 years. The Lord still speaks to me about things that I've learned in those 20 years that need out of my life. Amen. Just sayings and habits and things like that. But listen, if it was not for the proclaiming of the Word of God, I would not know those things. We need preaching, amen. We need the truth proclaimed, amen. And we need to hear it, amen. Jesus said unto the churches, every one of them, in Revelation, He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches," amen. He told this bunch as he walked upon the earth, he says, ears they have, but they don't hear. Amen. Eyes they have, but they don't see. Amen. He told them, he told his disciples, he said, this is the reason I speak in parables. Amen. Because that the bunch that had turned him off, that the bunch had already rejected him in their heart. Amen. It wasn't given to them. Amen. They'd already turned him away. Thank God, he wants his people. Amen. To be revived and to listen to brother that preached this evening already that in John 15 that we must. Abide in Him, and His words must abide in us. Amen. That's what revival is. When the Word of God's abiding in us, and we in turn are abiding in Christ. Amen. That abiding, that means that we're walking with Him. We're walking according to Him. Amen. We're walking in His way, and He's having His way in our life. Amen. That's what it means to abide in the vine. He said, except the branch abide in the vine, he said, you're not going to bear no fruit. Amen. Is that not what we're here for? Amen. To bear fruit. So there must be preaching. I'm not going to get far, I see. There must be preaching, amen, to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Our hearts must be prepared. Listen, we talk about revival. We pray about revival. But listen, we need to pray that the Lord would prepare our hearts for revival. Amen. Revival will never come in our life. I mean, God's just not going to just give revival. Amen. They've got to be some preparation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is preparation for revival. Amen. There's a preaching. Amen. Listen, there's also a profound change of mind. That word profound means deeper than skin deep. Amen. A profound change of mind. Look what he said. He said, what was it? What was John preaching? Amen. He said he came forth preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye. Amen. I know, listen, I realize this evening I'm preaching to preachers. I'm preaching to faithful men of God of the church. Faithful church. I understand that this evening. Amen. But we need this. Amen. Listen, if anybody's going to get revived, amen, it's going to be those that are faithful to God. those that are faithful in the house of God, those that are hearing the preaching of God, those that are praying, amen, those that are seeking God. The Bible says, amen, he says to draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. Listen, it's the faithful. Listen, I'm no better than anybody else. But listen, you're not going to be revived laying out of church all week, every other week. Amen. You're not going to get revival. Listen, there must be some preparation in our life. A profound change of mind. He said, repent ye. Amen. That's not just, well, I know I need to do better. Amen. I ain't being mean tonight. I'm not preaching mean. I'm not preaching down to anybody. Listen, I preached this at my church. The Lord's preached it to me, amen, for a long time. Amen. This is what I need. This is what you need. This is what the church needs. We need just simply to repent, amen, of our way. Amen. Our way. See, it is our way that we're drawn to. Amen. Listen, even in the ministry, it is sometimes we're drawn to our way. Amen. And the things that we think would be right. Amen. But listen, repentance is not just for the adulterer. Repentance is not just for the whoremonger. Repentance is not just for the thief. Amen. It's for the child of God. Amen. And repentance is not just being sorry. Amen. You just know that. Amen. It is a profound change of mind. It's something, amen, that takes place in the heart. Amen. Listen, 1 John 1:9. Thank God for that. Amen. I claim it regularly. Amen. But listen, it's not a crutch. And listen, forgiveness and cleansing does not come without repentance. You can claim 1 John 1:9 all you want to. If you have not repented, you've not turned, I get a hatred for things that come in my life that come between me and my Lord. Amen. And I may do it tomorrow. God help me not to. But I turn from that. Amen. There must be a change. Must be a desire to change. Must be a determination to change. What we see today, which is killing our spirituality, is a determination to stay the same. Amen. Just sit on the bench, wait on the Lord. Amen. Do you know that the Bible teaches us, as God's children, that we should be different this evening than we was this morning? Amen. We should be closer to the Lord this evening than we was this morning. We should be closer to the Lord in the morning than we was this evening. And that's not just during revival time. That's during our life here in this world. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches about spiritual growth. Amen. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to sit down and just wait. Sit down and stay where we're at. Amen. But we're to, listen, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. He didn't wait, amen, on that. And I know Paul was speaking. He was looking for the rapture of the church, amen, when he said that. But he didn't sit down and say, well, I'm just going to wait till the Lord comes and raptures me out. No, he pressed forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. And that's what we're to do, amen. But before we can do that, we must have a change. We must have a desire and a determination to change, amen, when things are come in our life that keep us out of the house of God. Amen. I know, listen, the Bible teaches us, and I understand this, that sometimes our ox gets in the ditch. I understand that. But if it gets in the ditch every Wednesday night and every Sunday night, then you ought to eat the ox. Amen? Amen. Don't sell him to somebody else that's going to keep them out of church. Amen. We ought to get rid of, listen, we need to, that's what I'm saying. Repent is not just for the the sins of the flesh that we read over there in the book of Galatians. It's about anything that comes between us and our Lord. Amen? So there must be a preaching. There must be a profound change of mind. Verse number three, the Bible says in get to chapter 3. Verse number 3 says, he says, repent ye. Verse number 2, repent ye. That is personal. Amen. That's a personal responsibility. That's what our church needs. Our church needs that. But listen, revival will never come to the church until it comes to me. Amen. And the whole church is not going to be revived until one person gets revived. Amen. Until one person gets closer to God. Amen. And starts walking in the way of the Lord. And starts letting the Lord's way walk in him. Amen. Amen. Then it's going to spread. Amen. And the Lord's going to do a work. But it begins with a personal responsibility. He said in verse number 3, for this is he that is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. A lot of times we're waiting on somebody else to prepare the way for us. Right? Amen? Let me just let you in on a little something. Your pastor can't prepare the way of the Lord for you. Amen? I can't do that. Amen. The evangelists, listen, we have revival. We have evangelists come in and preach week's meeting. The evangelist cannot prepare the way of the Lord for you. It must be a personal responsibility. Amen. I've got to prepare the way of the Lord in my life. Amen. My son's got to prepare the way of the Lord in his life. Amen. My family's got to do that. Amen. My church has got to do that individually. Amen. I preach and I'm burdened and I desire to lead, amen, the flock of God, and I do it as well as I can yield unto God to do what I know to do, the leadership of God. But listen, the pastor of the church cannot prepare your heart, amen. Listen, you preachers know all the time, let me say it that way. When you preach, you have a text, and you have a title, you have a purpose when you preach. Amen. A message from God. Amen. That's burning your heart. But the Holy Ghost takes that message and speaks unto people things that you never imagined that they needed. Amen. Amen. So then they have that responsibility to take that and to deal with the Lord, let the Lord deal with them and respond unto them. Amen. And I have the same responsibility. See, preacher's not, listen, a lot of folks think the preacher just gets to get up and preach to everybody. No, the preacher gets it before, after, amen, and from now on, amen, about what the Lord's dealt with him. And so it's a personal responsibility. I want you to turn over to Luke chapter number 3. And now I'm going to hurry. I'm not going to get through all of it. But Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 7. When there's preaching of the truth, and when there's profound change of mind or repentance, and we take personal responsibility with our spirituality with God, being spiritual, that's not being saved. You can be saved and not be spiritual. When we do this, then there's proof that's recognizable. I want you to look in Luke chapter 3, verse number 7. And this is the same account, but just at a different look. He said in verse number 7, then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, this is John, He said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of to come? He speaks to the Pharisees and scribes. He said in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. He's talking to the Pharisees here. Amen. He said, you want me to baptize you? He said, you're going to have to bring forth fruit. You're going to have to bring forth proof of repentance. Amen. So that tells me that there is fruit of repentance in my life and in your life. If we have repented, that tells me that there is fruit. There is proof that we repented. I'll show you. He says, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. That's what he's telling Pharisees and scribes. And he says, and begin not to say to yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth forth not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now here's what I want you to see. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? They're not asking him what to do to repent. Amen. I'll read the rest of these verses. They're asking him, what should we do now that we have repented? These are people that's already been baptized. These are all people that's all, this is not the scribes and the Pharisees here. He says the people came, asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And look what he said. He answered them and said, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. He's not telling them to do things for repentance. That is penance. We don't practice penance. Amen. Amen. We have fruit of repentance. Amen. Penance is doing something, amen, to say I'm sorry. Amen. Repentance is being sorry and changing, and then it calls you to do something. Amen. And so he tells them to the people, it's a crowd here. It's different people. He says, he that hath one coat or two coats, he said, give. In other words, he's don't be selfish. He said, don't think of yourself. Amen. That is fruit of repentance. Amen. And listen, that applies to us today. You want to know if we are walking in the way of the Lord? Are we living for ourselves? Amen. If we're living for ourselves, then we're not walking in the way of the Lord. We've not prepared our heart. Let me go on. He said, then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said, exact no more than that, which is the point. I want you to notice that he deals with each one with their own sin. Amen. He deals with me and my sin. He deals with you and your sin. They probably ain't the same thing. They might be, but they probably ain't. He dealt with the woman at the well in her sin. Amen. He didn't go to the woman at the well and start talking about cheating on her taxes. Amen. He said, call thy husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, I know thou hast had five. Amen. He dealt with her sin. God deals with our own sin. He dealt with the people. Amen. And they're living for themselves. He dealt with the publicans because the publicans could exact more than what Rome required, and they could keep that. He said, don't do that. He said, repentance, if you repent of that, then the fruit of that will be that you don't do that anymore. Amen. He said, look, he goes on down. He said unto them, exact no more than that is appointed to you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him. Amen. The soldiers. He said, the soldiers, and look what he said, saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. These was all things that they needed repented of. Amen? So there is proof that we've repented. Amen? There's proof whenever we start preparing the way of the Lord in our life. Verse number 9, I'm going to hurry through. Verse number 9, the Bible says, He tells those Pharisees and Sadducees, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. That was their go-to. Amen. Whenever they was faced with sin in their life, they said, well, we have Abraham as our father. Amen. That's their whole foundation. Amen. That was their whole foundation. That was all they stood on. Amen. And John told him, he said, don't think that we have Abraham. He said, God can raise of these stones children of Abraham. Amen. What was they doing? They was putting up excuses. Amen. And that's what, listen, if we're going to prepare the way of the Lord, we're going to have to put away the excuses. Amen. I know that we have responsibilities at home. We have responsibilities on the job. I understand that. The Bible says a man that won't work, he's worse than the infidel. Amen. And listen, we're supposed to provide for our family. We're supposed to work. Amen. Amen. But that should not be our life. That should not be our life's goal. Amen. To hoard up things in this world. Amen. Because the Bible says that the things of this world is going to perish. Amen. And we're to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. Amen. But we make excuses a lot of times. Well, I can't make it because I got to go to work. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you'll dedicate your heart and your life, amen, unto God, and say, Lord, I'm going to be in your house. I don't care what goes on, and I'm going to trust in you to provide for me. I'm going to trust in you to make things all right. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, a little farther on in there, he says, seek ye first. That's priority. That's priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And he said all these things that we make excuses about. Amen. He said all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. If God can clothe the lilies of the field like greater than Solomon, then He can take care of my clothes on my back. Amen. If He can feed the birds of the air, amen, and know each one of them what they need, He can feed me. Amen. Amen. But they put forth excuses. Verse number 10, He says, now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, what he was telling them is the old economy is over. That's pretty much what he's saying. He said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. He said, things are changing. Amen. Listen, God didn't have a new program. This is just part of His program. Amen. But the way up until this time, God's saying, time's over. Amen. The Lamb of God's fixing to come on the scene. Amen. He's fixing to begin His ministry. Amen. And which is going to lead to Calvary. Amen. To that last sacrifice. That last blood that was to be shed. Amen. That's what he's saying right here. Amen. And he's telling that bunch of Pharisees and scribes, he says, and now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Amen. Listen. Wherever we're at today, today's over with. We need to proceed forward. We need to push forward. Amen. In our own personal life. Listen, we have a shouting meeting tonight. Listen, that don't mean that we're to come on Sunday morning and be dead as a hammer. Amen. Well, we had a good meeting Thursday night. Listen, our spirituality needs to grow, and we need to. Listen, how many of us prepare to go to work in the morning? Amen. How many of us prepare for school? How many of us prepare, listen, for necessities of life? How many of us prepare to come to the house of God on Saturday night? Amen. I'm preaching myself. Amen. Prepare. Amen. Spend time with the Lord. Listen, the preacher spends time with the Lord. But it again, the preacher can't be spiritual for you. Amen. We got to prepare. We got to spend time. We got to hear the truth. We got to repent. We got to realize that it's us that needs spirituality. We need to see that proof. We need to put away our excuses. We need to proceed forward. And that's what he's telling those Pharisees. He said, this time's over. The Lord's moving on. And listen, there was very few of them that let go of that old way. Amen. And listen, if they didn't leave that and follow the Lord, they're in hell today. I mean, that's just the truth. And I'm not going to go to hell. I'm not going to lose my salvation. But I can die cold and unspiritual and unusable for God if I just sit down and dream about the old days. Amen. Need to press forward toward the mark of the high calling. Amen. What it takes to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. All right.